This talk was given by Jody Hojin Kimmel Sensei at Zen Mountain Monastery. Hojin Sensei is a resident teacher at the monastery and co-director of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation or find out more about our retreats and residency programs, visit our website at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
This is from a Dogen fascicle called Immo, number 17. There is a teaching that has been voiced from ancient times, one that has been voiced in India and from the heavens above. It says, in effect, if because of the ground you fall down, you will get up also because of the ground. Should you try to get up independent of the ground, ultimately, that is impossible. In other words, those who fall on the ground will invariably get up on the ground. Were they to attempt to get up apart from the ground, they will not succeed. Translator's introduction. Immo is a word that comes from colloquial Song Dynasty Chinese. English equivalents would include this, that, thus, in this way or manner, like this, in such a way as this. It was used by the Chinese Zen masters to designate that which is, the ultimate reality which goes beyond any words we can employ to describe it. The word was also used when describing someone who knows through direct experience what the term that which is pointing to, namely such a person, a true person, such a one, or a true person of suchness. So the true nature of sound, color, and form is that which is. The true nature of body and mind, that which is. And the true nature of Buddhas is that which is. For example, we understand that when we fall, we rely on the ground being there, as it is, existing just as it is. And that when we get up, we rely on the ground being there, existing just as it is. So we should not be surprised that our falling down has also relied on the ground being there. We fall on the ground, and the ground is also it. So we see that these references to ground have more than one meaning. And I've always loved this Inmo. I take it on Hermitage. I've worked with it with both of my teachers. Somehow this falling on the ground and getting up by the ground has caught me, my attention. One way that we fall when we don't act in harmony with the precepts, for example, we rely on hitting the ground somewhere along the line, and we depend on this grounding to help us get up and go on and keep trying to return to the precepts. So Dogen will use the phrase relying on the ground in the sense of relying on what is concrete in our life, which cannot be relied on except in relation to that which is empty space. So all of what we do in practice life is grounding in a groundless practice. It's the Heart Sutra that we're embedded in. Form is exactly emptiness, emptiness exactly form. Relying on what is concrete in our life, which cannot be relied on except in relation to that which is like empty space. But we keep seeing, I think, more of is trying to secure some ground, something under us that is groundless by nature. How come? Well, it's a scary thought that we can't secure ourselves only on the security that it is empty by nature. So how can we find stability? What does stability mean when there is no concrete ground, when it is that which is really empty space? What do we take refuge in? So in Sesshin, we just sit down here, just to notice how the body is breathing on its own. There's nothing for us to do, nothing for us to manage at this time. And this is our life. The breathing that we're doing is relating to this unattainable life, going inside and outside, going outside and inside, going outside and inside, till there isn't. It's just one continuous flowing. What is this unattainable life? The Buddha way is unattainable. I vow to attain it. This, perhaps, I think of it as something greater, unimaginable, unfathomable, that we could never imagine, that we're in, embedded in. We call it our life. So here we are, breathing, we're alive. Dogen says, it is so unfathomable, Buddhists can't understand it, the mind can't understand it, even the whole universe can't understand it. So we can't use anything to measure this which is. And yet we tromp around like real estate managers, trying to oversee and control, and trying hard to make things the way we want it to be. And when we sit down in Zazen, we are making a relationship. Our Zazen is coming down to the earth. This is what the Buddha modeled. All of what we do in practice life is grounding us in a groundless practice, so we can let it slip away. We're relying on what is concrete in our life. We have this embodiment, which cannot be relied on except in relation to that which is like empty space. So we're just sitting and learning to allow things to come through, to come to the heart of the matter. Just sitting right with the matter of the heart and the breath, allowing life to be. But in periods of Zazen, things are happening. Even though we're sitting, someone's cooking, someone's in the kitchen, fixing a meal, someone's working in the office, someone's driving on their way here, birds are chirping, motors are zooming, life is happening. And then a bell rings when it's time for us to stand up, and we can do just standing up. Life stands up. And then we allow our life to sit down. And when we begin to just meet ourselves, like in Zazen, all these things, all this managerial work starts to come into play. All our fears and our habits. Should I get some tea? A cough drop would be really good right now. I could use a hit of sugar. No candy around, so I'll get a cough drop. Maybe I'll read the session list one more time to see who's coming. Maybe just the plaques on my way around in Kinhin. These kind of things we do. It's okay, but just to know what we're doing. I don't think I ever read of Buddha writing about managing our lives. I've never seen him write like a phrase on that. But he did ask us to look at what are we craving? What do we crave? Look at your cravings. Look at our habits and patterns so that we see it and we can say, okay, this is how I do this. Do I want to continue this or not? What's it bringing? Oh my gosh, look what I'm craving. Fascinating. But to look at how these things take us away from this interrelationship, from the natural unfolding. You might say, that is it. But is it? He says, when we begin to crave, we become ignorant, which means to not know. We don't know. We've forgotten the interrelationship between everything and everyone, and we get busy. We get turned away. We suffer. We're not flowing with what is being put into our lives. And the fears that I meet, fear of losing something, fear of humiliation, fear of the unknown, fear of disbelief in my capabilities, making sure I look good, appear as though I think I look good, perfect, right, on top of things, and in others' eyes, perhaps. So these things come to mind when I crave and I have that urge to control. So I take a deep breath. We can take a deep breath and feel in ourselves if there is this craving of trying to get to something so that we can use it to establish certainty about our life now, today, tomorrow, in the future, later on. Breathing into the feeling of needing a certain kind of ground and knowing, and see how much space it takes up. Releasing and letting the ground slip away, sort of like if you're on the beach and you're standing on the sand and the wave comes and then it just drags, it leaves like your feet sort of sinking into a space, that kind of slipping, just letting it slip. And if we're not ready to slip out, we can step back until we have our seat long enough to trust our groundwater. So we need to trust that there's something greater than thinking about being in control. So we begin Zazen, making a relationship, coming down to the earth. This is what Buddha modeled. We have to come down to the earth, to the ground, to get off the ground. We have to be seated in ourself, to unseat ourself. I was thinking about one relationship I had with the ground. It was a July session, just like this, super hot, like the days before. I had a I remember feeling very frustrated, very pissed off at Daito Roshi, working on something for a long time that I thought I saw, he didn't think I did. So I was really upset, like really upset, like really upset. I just had enough of everything. And it was so hot and I was just totally annoyed. I think we all know that feeling. And I was going up to my cabin. I put on my backpack at the same time to study some more. And I had my arms on my pack, and I, you know, outside where the Sangha house is, many of you don't know, that used to be a swimming pool. And there was like a liminal place which was kind of weedy, and there was a path through it so you can shortcut up the hill to the cabin. And I'm trudging up, totally involved in my head about the day. And the next thing I know, I'm on the ground. My face is in the dirt, just flat out. I don't know what happened. My hands were still in my backpack, so I didn't even stop the fall. And I was just like I went right in head first. And this happened to me one other time where it was winter, and I was on the road, on South Plank Road, late at night walking. And I had horrible thoughts in my mind, and it was as though someone stuck out their leg when these thoughts came, and I tripped and I fell and it broke the spell. And there's actually, I found out, a name for that, but that's what it felt like. I felt like there was nothing there. It felt like a big leg came out and tripped me, and I didn't have time for anything. And so the first thing I did was get embarrassed. Who saw me? And I lifted my head up like a quail. And I looked around to see if anybody actually was out there. And nobody was there. And I laid down again into the ground. And I started to weep so hard. I mean, I was wailing. Now the dirt's really stuck on my face because I'm sweaty and I'm just weeping. And then I started thinking about what I must have looked like to myself. And I started laughing hysterically, like really laughing hard. And then I thought, I better get my stuff together here and be on my way. But I'm laying there and I look out and I see the rim of a cup in the dirt. So I stretch out my arm and I start digging and I'm like, wow. And it's like I'm digging. Then I find a stick and now I'm going at it more. And I dig out a whole coffee cup with a decal of the monastery on it that says Camp Wapanachi. So I came away feeling like, you know, if you fall down, don't hurry. Just take a look around for a little bit, because there might be some gems. So this everything that we are, this true person, you know, can we hold everything we encounter with open hands, our anger, our greed, our ignorance, our striving, to allow this energy to naturally transform and release itself. So even our suffering, when we can simply let it be without trying to eliminate it, it reveals as part of our awakened nature. There are no exceptions. Everything is the ground of our being. Everything is our Buddha nature. Nothing is excluded. And so there are things that we can do to help ground us in our life. relying on what is concrete in our life, which cannot be relied on except in relation to that which is like empty space. So this embodiment is a concrete matter, which we cannot ignore, that we have one. And Buddha said, appreciate your body. Don't starve it, don't hurt it. Take care of it. You need it. Don't deny it. So bowing at the threshold is a grounding gesture when we bow into the Zendo. It's there to pause, for us to pause. We're crossing over. It's a liminal space from one space to another. So we can ground ourselves in that bow. And we use them throughout. Whenever you pass the statue of the Buddha, the image of the Buddha in the hallway, there's a bow to acknowledge, to ground ourselves where we are in our present moment. We bow to our seat. So if you consider entering that fully, there's a grounding that happens. Bowing to our seat, bowing out, calming down into the fluidity of our life. Arranging our body in Zazen. All its movements grounding us in our seat. And in a sense, we begin to become open and aware of the power of support which is holding us in our place physically, opening us to a certain sensitivity that we have a floor. We have a floor to hold us. And then we can take that solidity of our seat on the floor more and more deeply to more subtle areas of our body, this grounding, focusing on the breath at first, bringing it in deeper to a more cellular level, finally bringing that grounded stability to our mental focus to help us single-pointedly concentrate. So to really consider the power of the earth and its capacity to ground us and help us be more steady in releasing. This is an important connection, an important relationship. Usually we sit down and we want to blast off somewhere, go beyond. But we have to take the whole thing with us through the fire, the whole embodiment. Healing energy comes from the earth. She has the power of nurturing us. And there's an enormous ground to settle upon and settle into, to release. I was thinking that Zazen is like a midwife to our birth into form. From the formless to groundlessness, mutually arising. And in our body, it's at the bottom of our spine is the location for this grounded tendency of awareness. That part of the spine is the seat of our energetic connection, our energetic presence. And this area of our body naturally resonates with our suffering. Many of us suffer there too. Death, our questions of life and death, or whatever questions comes from that spine. You could feel it if you pay attention. And we may feel in that part of our body when we're shaky, when we're upset. We want something steadfast, and that's our connection. We can send down from the bottom of the spine a grounding cord that extends deep into the earth, a channel with the earth and its powerful stability. And then stay, rest, stay there, rest, open, and allow the earth to bring in the stability which moves up to feed the mind to relax and release. So it's the whole experience, not just from the head up. It's like a tree with deep roots, upright, yet we need to be pliable and flexible, or we'll break. You don't see trees stiffen up when the wind comes. They bend, but their roots are so strong. They say the strongest place to be in an earthquake is a bamboo grove. We have one. Because their roots are so deep, there's this stability, and they can really sway and bend. I used to kind of, I still do, use bamboo as a kind of Pilates gym, because bamboo bends so well, and so if you get in between two of them, you can sort of do a, like a Pilates movement, and there's resistance. So I told someone, try this, it's really great, just like bend back on a stick of bamboo, and the whole thing went and they fell over in the driveway. I was sorry. So find a stable piece before you stretch it out, check it out. And I also think of Buddha, you know, that gesture of touching the earth, like when Mara, that aspect of our being that challenges us, why are you sitting here? What are you doing in your seat? Why don't you just go up and go out for what you crave and just like go get your cough drop, go out, you know, do something. But that part of us that turns us away. And when Mara came to Buddha in those final moments, and Mara challenged and said, who's your witness in all this? And the Buddha reached down, the earth, that steadiness, the earth is my witness. That's where I rise and move from. So you can have that if you need that. You have that on your altar. You can identify with that earth witness and what it means and gain steadfastness that way, actually through an image. That's what they're there for, to awaken us to who we are, mutual identity with all the images that we see. When we feel fearful or unstable, we have earth qualities, all the elements actually, meeting the earth as a resource, aiding our steadfastness. And then we have the elements, because, you know, earth can get kind of dense and tight. So we need a little air. We need a little flow, water. We need space. We need some fire. Making it more vast, there are layers of earth directly beneath us, and then there's further layers. Beneath and beneath and beneath. So actually we get right to the solar system. Our spine is straight. soaring up from the bottom of the body is trusting, receiving support from the earth, not strained, not tight, not ready to take flight, but here, that's our connection to here. Earth is unmoving and non-judging. And then allowing this presence of stability, this earthiness, to come more subtly through our skin, through our cells, through our bones, through our marrow. It catches on layer by layer in a very natural way. It connects with the deep steadfastness and the concentration nectar needed for our mind to stay present. Relaxed and yet very clear. No need to manage. Just simply be very clear. So this is the language that the Buddha was communicating with his body, sitting under the Bodhi tree, sitting under the tree when he was a young boy. In the Metta Sutta, Buddha's words on loving kindness, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding two fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So why don't we just sit down, have everything fall away, and just feel connected? We actually do know what this is. Each one of us actually does know what this is. To just sit and be here. We know what it is to be natural, because we are that true person. And yet, there's often such resistance to this grounding. We're looking for another kind of grounding in a groundless nature. Because we're also a creature that can scatter and move our attention all over. We can leave our embodiment. You know, the head wants to go over there, then over there, to accomplish this, to accomplish that. The body wants over here, wants to not be here while it is, restless. This is the force of craving, this the second noble truth, dukkha, we face. And so Zazen begins to uncoil us. That's why we get a little crooked at first in our seating. Something, if your nose is out on the floor, you're going somewhere. So come back. Yeah. When taming our mind, we're also taming the energies of our body. And as we settle, we can meet in stillness. This ungraspable ancient knowledge, so unfathomable that Buddhists can't understand it. The mind can't understand it. Even the whole universe can't understand it. It's a language we're never apart from. And as I said, it's referred to as the ground of being, our Buddha nature. Dogen would say, everyone is Buddha nature. We wholly experience it. It can't be taken away. If because of the ground you fall down, you will get up also because of the ground. Should you try to get up independent of the ground, ultimately, that is impossible. The smoke screens on our present condition, the heavier aspects of being a body, we face the grip of this, and we keep releasing again and again and again. Because we are always this true person, this is possible. Thought coverings separate us from heaven and earth. And in Zazen, we get a clearer view how language puts us together and takes us apart. It's important to see the thoughts, acknowledge them, use this groundwork for our truth-seeking mind to get off the ground. We find a lot of things with our body as we study how they look, function, things that have happened, traumas, injury. And it seems to get in the way with the wisdom of our own bodies. And then to actually trust that the wisdom is always in us, despite any condition. I would say the condition is there, in my experience, so we can fully enter into the wisdom. And if we took a microscope and went in, you would know this, and looked very deeply into our aggregates, we would just see particles, light particles. So we have this language of light we contact. It's interesting in the teachings how much there is this language of light. Why is it said to turn the light around? What's that light? Turn the light around. What is our brilliance? What is illumination? What is in the light? Remembering who we are. It's the recollection in the sutra. I thought of Sesshin as similar to the solar panels, that we're just like solar panels. We're light collectors, gathering the heart and mind of light to receive and give back. Dana. So it doesn't matter what your state of mind is. The very process of turning inward, turning and looking, generates quite a bit of light. That light's not limited to humans, it's all of us. Everything is involved. The buildings, the trees, Rudy, the person you don't like. Nothing is outside of that light, that awakened nature. It's our mind that endlessly divides things up, seals it, has a fixed view, wants to understand but can't. Some things we can, but there's certain languages we can't. It's ordinary. It's natural when it's at rest. And it endlessly opens as we practice. So to trust, to really trust and recognize how implanted, how many thousands and thousands of years of conditioning. I thought of the illness would be today, data retention. That's how we suffer. In the groundlessness of Zazen, we begin to see that there are places within us that are tremendously open and unbounded, and that there are places within us that call us communicating in many different ways. We begin to relinquish our obsessive and often maniacal control over our experience and see that we could commit ourselves to a life that is much vaster and more inclusive of our actual experience than the one we currently inhabit. Our hearts are tenderized as we continue to be present with everything that arises, because so much of what we witness is our sorrow and our grief. Our hearts break, and those broken hearts reveal themselves as Buddha nature. And we can feel a new power that's not personal, not dependent on happiness and sadness, beyond good and bad, right and wrong. There is this field. Recently, I was reading a piece by an American Indian woman, and she spoke these words, which you may have heard, Nagual and Tonal. Nagual, which we can understand to mean everything that can't be named. Good word for the ground of being. Dynamic, yet a steady state of rest, and out of this, we're called to live in relationship. And tonal is everything that can be named. The world of apparent differences, the physical world that flashes on and off. The tonal draws its substance from the nagual. Another embodiment of this meeting is our gassho. Everybody, please, gassho. I didn't mean that. I love that when the officiant says, "Everybody, please, gassho," and I just feel this coming together of all of us and that are present in that meeting. Everybody, please, gassho. So we're off to a deep start, and let's keep remembering, let's keep recollecting a language we don't know that we can ground ourselves in, that we don't need to manage or control. That is based on this emptiness in our form. And I'll end with a poem, which I think is another way of expressing it, by Mary Oliver, which is called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees and the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find more Dharma Talks, interviews, and events at zmm.org/media. While online, please check out the Jizo Project, our multifaceted initiative to make Zen Mountain Monastery more accessible and welcoming to all. Learn about the new Jizo House building and accessibility enhancements to existing facilities that are just two aspects to this exciting endeavor. Find out more and see how you can get involved at zmm.org/JizoProject. That's JizoProject.